You're listening to SBS News.
When word first came on Wednesday that the US and Iran had negotiated a two-week truce, the resounding reaction was relief. The head of the Catholic Church, Pope Leo XIV, responding with a message of hope.
In light of these past hours of great tension in the Middle East and for the whole world, I welcome with satisfaction and as a sign of genuine hope the announcement of an immediate two-week truce.
Reaction on the streets of the Iranian capital, Tehran, was similarly jubilant. The 11th-hour deal coming after US President Donald Trump's threat to unleash a bombing campaign that would destroy Iranian civilization. And these residents hoped a deal would hold.
A ceasefire is a good thing as long as it serves the interest of the Iranian people. However, we have already negotiated with the United States several times without reaching an agreement. If a ceasefire is merely a continuation of these fruitless negotiations, then it's meaningless. But we must continue negotiations so that the other side understands Iran's specific demands. All the terms proposed by Iran should be implemented. Only under this circumstance will a ceasefire be a good thing.
I heard this morning that our conditions had been accepted and then a ceasefire was declared. I was genuinely happy from the bottom of my heart. Hopefully, this can open a path to victory, lead to the lifting of unjust sanctions, and allow Iranians, after all these years, to live like others and simply breathe.
But relief has been short-lived. World leaders had barely voiced their approval of a ceasefire when Iran indicated the deal was under threat. Chief among the features of a proposed ceasefire was that the Strait of Hormuz would be opened, allowing free passage of oil shipments for 2 weeks after a month of closure that has created a global energy crisis. But Iran has now indicated the strait will not be opened, citing Israel's latest, deadliest attacks in Lebanon that have been targeting Iran-backed Hezbollah militants operating in the country's south. Earlier, the Islamic Republic's ambassador to the UN, Ali Bahraini, had warned there would be consequences for further attacks by Israel in Beirut.
And if the Israeli attacks continue against Lebanon, I'm sure it would complicate the situation and it would have some consequences. And we hope that everybody would observe the ceasefire in all its terms and aspects.
Iran says the Netanyahu government's attacks violate a ceasefire within hours of the agreement being made. But the US says Tehran is misunderstanding the deal's terms. United States Vice President J.D. Vance says Israel was not a party to the ceasefire plan and its strikes in Lebanon do not breach the agreement made by American negotiators.
I think the Iranians thought that the ceasefire included Lebanon, and it just didn't. We never made that promise. We never indicated that was going to be the case. What we said is that the ceasefire would be focused on Iran, and the ceasefire would be focused on America's allies, both Israel and the Gulf Arab states. Now, that said, the Israelis, as I understand it, again, I'm supposed to get a fuller report when I get on the plane, have actually offered to be, frankly, to check themselves a little bit in Lebanon because they want to make sure that our negotiation is successful.
The Prime Minister of Pakistan, a key mediator behind the US and Israeli truce with Iran, says Lebanon was originally included in the proposal. Other countries have weighed in too, saying any ceasefire should include Israel downing its weapons in Beirut. Australia's Foreign Minister Penny Wong told Channel 7 the humanitarian situation in Lebanon is of deep concern and presents ongoing issues for fuel supply.
The ceasefire has to apply to Lebanon because if Israel and Hezbollah don't observe the ceasefire, it risks the ceasefire across the regions. We want the ceasefire to hold, including in Lebanon. We want the strait opened, and we want the world to work to restore stability to energy markets and fuel markets. And we want Australians to not be punished at the bowser for the ceasefire not holding.
Major shipping companies say conditions remain uncertain, With Maersk warning, there is still no full maritime certainty, and vessels are concerned about security in the strait. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Levitt maintains Tehran must open the Strait of Hormuz straight away.
Well, with respect to the first reporting out of Iranian state media, the president was made aware of those reports before I came to the podium. That is completely unacceptable. And again, this is a case of what they're saying publicly is different privately. We have seen an uptick of traffic in the strait today. The president's expectation and demand that the Strait of Hormuz is reopened immediately, quickly and safely. That is his expectation. It has been relayed to him privately that is what's taking place, and these reports publicly are false.
So what are the exact terms of the ceasefire? All parties have presented very different versions, and remarks by various leaders have been contradictory. Iran says the agreement allows it to charge a toll for ships crossing the Strait of Hormuz, a claim the White House rejects. But there are fresh concerns a toll could be imposed indefinitely as the world is choked of its oil supply. Eurasia Group President Ian Bremmer says despite its military and government ranks being severely reduced, Iran is in a better position than it was prior to the US and Israel's first attacks.
But the reality is that this conclusion of the war means that for all of the military damage that Iran has taken and all of the damage of their economic infrastructure, and so they're not winners, but they still, this regime is in place. Remember, Trump said he was going to rescue the Iranian people. They're very far from being rescued. They think they're living under the same regime. They're the only voice that really matters here. Trump said he was going to control the oil. He wanted to take the oil like he did in Venezuela. He's not taking any oil. And in fact, the Iranians have more influence over oil output, and it's going to cause a lot more cost, it's going to cause a lot more disruption than if there had never been a war to begin with.
It's just one item to be considered when the American negotiating team meets Iranian representatives in further negotiations, scheduled in Pakistan on Friday. Those talks will be attended by Vice President J.D. Vance for the U.S. and Parliament Speaker and former Revolutionary Guards Commander Mohammad Bakir Khalibif, with Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi there for Iran. Representatives will consider all stakeholders' proposals for peace. And in the meantime, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says U.S. troops will remain ready to fight in the Middle East while the ceasefire is underway.
Our troops are prepared to defend, prepared to go on offense, prepared to restart at a moment's notice with whatever target package would be needed in order to ensure that Iran complies. As far as the strait, you saw the initial agreement that was struck, which is Iran's letting ships go through. So they'll be that will be happening. They will be sailing.
Camille Bianchi, SBS News.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.